The place.
Oneofus.net.
The date.
June 28th.
The time.
All of it.
Wait, what?
That's right, on June 28th, starting at 12 noon, we'll be broadcasting for 12 hours. It's our first ever Oneofus.net Comic-Con Podathon fundraiser!
12 hours? We didn't agree to...
There will be special guests, prizes, and several of your favorite site personalities pushed to the edges of their sanity when geek inebriation meets sleep deprivation.
Funds received will go towards a One of Us meetup during Comic-Con, as well as an end-of-summer bash in celebration of our one-year anniversary.
I'm glad you've come around.
Well, what the hell else am I going to do all day?
That's the spirit.
Join us, won't you?
In my day, the World Cup was guarded by the last Knight Templar, and there were booby traps. Okay? There were booby traps leading up to it.
This is Inside the Locker.
Welcome to Inside the Locker, the only nerdy sportscast that thinks the only undefeated victor is the dystopian anti-hero in the Guy Fawkes mask. I believe that V will win. I believe that V will win. I believe that V will win. This is Brian Salisbury, and obviously, I am just back from our Game of Cups coverage from the lovely Mohawk Bar here in Austin, Texas. That's right, for 5 straight days, I was very hands-on for coverage of a game where you can't, in fact, use your hands.
You are very handsomely.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're a crazy man.
I'm a little out of my mind. I think it's fair to say. But we made it. We survived. And we actually, you know, I got to give it up to Fabio, who is our audio intern, who actually sat down and compiled one file.
Holy
that had
shit.
All of our broadcasts, and it was 14 hours long. So suffice to say, we won't be posting that because that would take up all of the bandwidth forever. But if you go, I will put the link up in this broadcast post. The guys over at Bro Jackson, International Players Anthem from Bro Jackson, who are partnering with us, Ramon and Steven. Steven was actually compiling every time we did a broadcast. He was editing it together and posting it up on SoundCloud. So I will just go ahead and
that's a good idea.
Post the link to SoundCloud. And I apologize to Fabio for making him do all that. But I sat and I stared at that file and I was like, there is nowhere that I can put this. And that is what she said.
Are you going to send him a prize or something?
I should send him
yeah,
money.
Like an Amazon gift card or something.
Yeah, no, I owe that guy a lot.
Well, I want to say first, just real quick, it's always nice to see Ramon and Steven. They are great guys.
They are good guys. And you know what's weird about them with their sports show is they know a lot about sports,
well,
which is a little intimidating to me. But
well, we focus more on, you know, real football.
Well, yes.
I was just joking.
Not only that, but we focus on a very small portion of actual sports authority, and we are much more about, like, how sports relates to being a nerd. And sometimes I get with people who are actual experts on sports, and I'm like, wow, I'm at the grown-ups table, and I do not belong here. Where is my sippy cup? I will be headed back over here with my macaroni and cheese and cut up hot dogs, because that is where I belong. Anyway, as you obviously heard with me tonight, as we sail triumphantly back into our regularly scheduled programming, is JC DeLeon.
What up?
And Elliot Fontanette.
Officially a free agent today.
A free agent today?
Yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, you know, just go look at my contract, see if we can do a little renegotiation. Free up some cap space,
If
maybe.
Your girlfriend's listening to the show, she's going to be very upset
oh,
that
Jesus
you just
Christ,
said
I
that.
Didn't mean that. I meant with the site.
Elliot's in trouble.
Oh,
this is awesome. And we are actually broadcasting from our new digs. I'm just calling it the Red Room.
Red
nice.
Room! Red Room!
Which is our new office here in Austin and is super swanky. It's got a couch for all my Mad Men type days where I drink too much at work and have to take a nap.
Mad Men-ish.
It is a little Mad Men-ish. And, you know, we're going to take a few questions from the cheap seats in just a moment. But first, hold the goddamn phone. It's sports news.
Flash, the captain and Mrs. America and all the ships at SeaQuest. These are the scores and stories.
Stop the press.
Well, shuffle up and make the deal because it's time for free agency. Yes, thank you, Vanna. So the big news, obviously, with free agency in the NBA this year is that LeBron James has opted out of his contract with the Miami Heat.
As of this morning.
As of this morning. This is breaking news. This is the remix to Ignition, hot and fresh out that kitchen.
Now, usually I don't do this, but
Well, speaking of kitchen, I think it's that LeBron is trying to renegotiate the contract because you saw D-Wade do it the other day. He took a lower amount, like a Tim Duncan amount, so they can actually bring in some supporting cast. Because I'm sorry, Shane Battier is a little too long on the tooth. Birdman is the only real role player they still
Birdman.
You got Haslam, who's just sort of broken. When one of your best role players is Norris Cole, you got a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, LeBron opting out wasn't a huge surprise. Dwayne Wade actually hasn't made his intentions clear yet.
I heard that basically wrong.
Going on is that the Heat want pretty much the entirety of the big three to take us a very slight pay cut.
They have to.
To remain, because yeah, it's like we got to free up some cap space. And LeBron James, and you know, and it's been thought throughout this whole process, as goes LeBron, so goes the other two members of the big three. Mm-hmm. But as of right now, LeBron is the only one to make his decision, there we have it, public. So, you know, we're waiting to hear what happens with Dwayne Wade and what happens with Chris Bosh. Are they going to stay together in Miami? Is this, as Elliot suggested, just a negotiation tactic? Is LeBron basically saying, okay, I've opted out, but could that then make it easier for the Miami Heat to go, okay, we'll come back at this amount, we renegotiate the contract?
I don't think it is, and I think he's probably going to stay, but I tell you, I've recently started watching Mad Men.
That's good, because it's an amazing show.
It's an amazing show, and there was a scene where Don's trying to sell the photo carousel, the to project slides,
right,
and to relive your memories, and somebody on YouTube recut that scene with Don Draper convincing LeBron James to go back to Cleveland. And it's one of the best things I've ever seen. And if it wasn't for that dickbag owner, I could see that happen.
Are you talking about Roger Sterling? Because no, I love that man. Oh, you're talking about the NBA. Okay, I got you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sorry. I thought you were saying Donald Sterling.
We started mixing our metaphors a little bit. And somehow,
we mix a lot.
Yes, we mix a lot. Usually gin and juice.
Yeah, so, yeah, LeBron opting out wasn't a huge surprise again. It's whatever Dwayne Wade is going to do. LeBron stood to make $20 million next year. You know, we talk about how bad of a contract Kobe's contract was that he got this year.
You were right, Ben. I was wrong at that point. You were right, dude.
Yeah. Dwayne Wade, essentially, if he opts in, he has 2 years left in his contract worth $40 million, which is way more than he'll get.
It's more than he's worth.
And it's more than he's worth, yeah. So if Dwayne Wade opts in, that's going to hamstring the Heat's salary cap, and I think that is going to be your indicator that LeBron is going to go elsewhere.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, like, I think the thing here is that it's a bit of a sour grapes scenario, I think, where when LeBron gets the sense, like, my personal opinion is there is no team in the NBA where he has a better chance of winning a championship. There is no better scenario for him right now to win a third NBA championship than with the Miami Heat, because the Spurs are just going to continue to get older. And it's like, yes, right now, unequivocally, the Spurs are the best team in basketball. They've proven that. You could argue that last year they were the best team in basketball, and just, you know, because of Ray Allen, were denied their championship. But my contention is this. He can go anywhere he wants. He can be paired up with whatever superstar he wants. He is in no better position to win a third championship than if he stays with the Miami Heat. And if he makes the rash decision to leave because he didn't win one this year, it's very much like people said, LeBron taking his ball and going home.
I don't think he's going to do that, because I think he's conscious of that. And I think some agent, or I don't know how the decision happened and how they made that bad of a choice for the decision. Not trying to make a joke, but I don't think that's who he is. And I think he's very conscious of the metrics. And I think he got frustrated in Cleveland and made that bad decision. He just didn't understand the optics of how that would look.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, I think he should stay in Miami. But if he had to go to a team, and not just because we're in Texas, I would say go to Houston.
Yeah.
That's a team ready to win right now. You would have James Harden. You would have Lynn. You would have Dwight Howard and LeBron. And their role players?
Well, Jeremy Lin probably would be gone. Omar Asik would definitely be gone. Okay. But you'd have Chandler Parsons, James Harden, Dwight Howard. You'd have Jordan Hamilton, who is a really undervalued kind of all-around athlete guy, similar to Kawhi Leonard, not nearly as good. But
I just love that we've basically what sports broadcasting has become since LeBron has opted out of his contract is like trying to put together the dream Warriors 3. Because every time somebody talks about where he might go, they always talk about the other two people who might be there. Mm-hmm. Like, when they're talking about Kevin Love might be going to Chicago, and it's like, oh my God, like, what if there was Kevin Love and Derrick Rose and LeBron James and, or, I'm sorry, no, Kevin Love might be going to Cleveland. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm mixing up here. Carmelo Anthony, who also opted out of his contract with the Knicks, by the way.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, Carmelo Anthony, if you watch the...
No, I was just saying that, you know, like, the deal actually for Kevin Love was talking about him possibly going to Cleveland. There's this really interesting possibility where Cleveland might give up. You know, keep in mind, they have the very first pick in the draft this year. Mm-hmm. They may give that up with... Basically, the deal that they might put together is first-round pick, any two players that you want except for Kawhi Leonard, you give us Kevin Love. So Kevin Love would go to Cleveland to play with Kawhi Leonard, which might be an enticement.
Kyrie Irving.
I'm sorry, what did I say? Kawhi Leonard?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'm having a bad day. Yes, Kyrie Irving. So Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, and then an enticement possibly for LeBron to come back and a very interesting little...
If not for the owner, I'd be on board.
A little fuel on that fire in just a moment we'll get into. But so if LeBron goes back to Cleveland, there could potentially be Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving to play with. And then Minnesota, who already has three picks in the draft, would have four picks, including the number one overall.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So it is a mutually beneficial situation that might be enough to entice LeBron back to Cleveland. And I know that sounds crazy, but as JC can attest here and can fill us in, people very close to LeBron have been throwing a lot of fuel on the fire that possibly a return to Akron is inevitable.
Well, his wife. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
His wife. Yeah, and it's funny. ESPN has a little trade machine in which you can always kind of play around and do whatever trade you want. And for years, even before all of this started, like there have been two people that I thought would be amazing teammates for LeBron, considering the way they play, considering the way he plays. Kevin Love and J.J. Redick.
Oh, yeah. Because they pass just like him.
Yeah. Well, J.J. Redick is a good spot-up shooter, and Kevin Love, the way he rebounds and throws outlet passes, like it's... yeah, I think Kevin Love would be an amazing teammate for LeBron. And if he did go back to Cleveland, yeah, it'd be a good move on his part, publicity-wise. But, yeah, I don't think he's going to go back and play for the guy that called him a coward on national
TV. That's the thing. It's like, you'd have to have this huge Ari Gold... from Entourage, Vince gets to make the movie, come to Jesus meeting.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I tell you though, if you watch, I love U.S. basketball. It's one of my favorite things to watch ever since the Dream Team. Actually, I went back to my house.
You mean like Team USA basketball?
Team USA.
Yeah. I'm just like, is that just what you call the NBA? Just
all
U.S.
the time.
Basketball?
All the time. I'm like, U.S. basketball! No, I went
because we also have the Latvian basketball network that we watch all the time, so.
I went back home to my parents' house and I picked up, I forgot I had it. I have an action figure set of the original Dream Team, just mint condition, and that's how much I love it. I got the U.S. Dream Team Sega game. I bought that like a month ago. But if you watch the Dream Team, if you watch the U.S. basketball team these days, what you see is Carmelo Anthony just goes off because he's not the primary target. Mm-hmm. He needs to get on a team where he can be number two. He doesn't need to be number one. He needs to have somebody diverting that attention so he can just kill him with that jumper. Because when he doesn't have that pressure on him, he's amazing. So what I would love to see is the Heat free up some cap space, maybe even get rid of Bosch and get Anthony. Because I think that'd be the best. Because if you look at the Heat, they've been trying to shore up what Bosch does not give them. And I'm sorry, after what happened in the finals, where if Bosch could just have hit his shots, they'd have had a better chance against the Spurs because that would have stretched Tim Duncan out. I don't think Bosch is worth it at this point. I just don't.
If Bosch is a Raptor, the Spurs defense was a Tyrannosaurus Rex at the end of Jurassic Park. But you know what? Let's get back to this lead that we buried when I perfectly lobbed up a segue to JC, like Chris Paul, and then for some reason, the Blake Griffin to my Chris Paul over here just threw the ball into the stands.
I didn't see it coming. I'm sorry.
So the person very close to LeBron that's throwing fuel on the fire, JC.
Yeah, LeBron's wife, Savannah. She tweeted a picture through Instagram. It's a map of Ohio with the star on the city of Akron with the caption, "The home sweet home, the countdown begins, #330, which is the area code for Akron. And yeah, that threw a lot of fuel in the fire, but I think what a lot of people don't realize is that she is pregnant with their third child, their first daughter. Yeah, that could be what's counting down. They go back to Akron every summer.
I was going
to
say, are they going to name the girl Akron? Because that's a terrible name.
Yeah, they go back to Akron every summer. They have this huge mansion that they'll never be able to sell to anyone in that city of Ohio.
Yeah, well, they can't afford anything besides a mobile home.
Buy a house for the price of a VCR. If you guys haven't seen that Cleveland video, it was made when LeBron still played there. So one of the lines, it's just a video made by people that live in Cleveland who hate Cleveland, and it's like,
you mean everybody?
Our economy's based on LeBron James. Our main export is crippling despair.
See our river that catches on fire. It's so polluted that all our fish have AIDS.
It is hilarious, but at the end of it, they just go, "We're not Detroit."
That is an argument.
Yeah, that's the argument. And you know what? I have one word that comes to mind though when I think about LeBron's wife putting this on Instagram. Troll of the lo.
I'm not saying that she's a troll, but she's trolling. She's been around too many bridges.
They see me trolling.
Oh, good lord.
They hating.
No. So I do.
They think that LeBron is going back to Akron.
People don't give enough credit to LeBron and his family about, you know, how smart people they are. Like, she's a thriving businesswoman in Miami, She runs a really successful juice bar in Miami. They're smart people.
LeBron, I suppose it doesn't hurt that her husband's LeBron James.
Yeah, LeBron is really smart with his money, as opposed to most athletes. He invests it wisely. He actually, I tweeted about this when it happened. So when Apple bought Beats, keep in mind, LeBron represents Samsung Android phones. But he has a small stake in Beats, and when Apple bought Beats, he got an instant $30 million payday.
Jesus Christ!
So he is essentially getting paid by both Samsung and Apple at the same time.
I'm sorry, just the more I think about it, Apple buying Beats sounds like some farmer's market bullshit.
Yeah.
Apple's buying Beats, what is going on with our economy? Why is it basically based on produce at this point?
All I know is Apple's mixing with Beats, that's not natural.
That ain't right, that ain't how my daddy raised me. After much consideration, I have decided to take my trolling to Instagram. That is, you know what, here's the thing. I do think LeBron is out in Miami. I think it'll be a foolish decision, and it will be questioned, and it will be looked over from this point until the end of his career. But I do think he's leaving Miami. I really do. I don't think this is a negotiating tactic, and I think that there is no better spot for him to win a third championship than where he is right now. And if he goes to any team in the West, he's done for. The Western Conference is never going to afford him the same opportunity to get back to the finals again and again and again.
Uh-uh.
Because it is you could go down the line. It is a stronger conference from start to finish. You every year have 5 to 6 really strong contenders for that title. And not just the conference title, but the actual NBA title.
Well, I'm gonna,
whereas in the East, you have maybe 3 every year.
I'm gonna take it to you here. I say if he gets on the Clippers, Houston, or OKC, he can get to the finals at will.
I mean,
he's that good with those players around him. Blake Griffin and Chris Paul, you're telling me that anybody can stand against that?
I mean, again, we can play the Warriors 3 fantasy, and we can talk about all the other players that we want on either side of LeBron.
I
don't see it happening.
I think with Houston and the Clippers, he could get back to it. If Dwayne Wade opts in and is going to choke a lot of that salary cap for himself,
which would be selfish as fuck.
Yeah, I mean, it's his right, and that's what he negotiated with the Heat, and if he does it, I can't blame him.
If he does it, he's never allowed to complain about not getting back to the finals.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, if he does that, I don't think that's the best place with the best chance for LeBron to win another championship. I think it's in Houston. I think it could be in Chicago.
I don't think he'll ever go to Chicago.
Yeah. I do think it's probably in his best interest to stay in the Eastern Conference so that he'll always have that kind of semi-easy ride into the finals. But again, and the question we don't know is how LeBron will play next year. Like, it's pretty widely known that he coasted pretty much the entire regular season this year. I don't think that happens next year. I think he goes for an MVP trophy again next year.
Well, obviously, time will tell on that, and we can continue to play the trio of terror, so to speak, with other teams and LeBron. But obviously, the Carmelo Anthony situation is also super interesting here. First of all, I owe you guys each $5 because Mark Jackson did not, in fact, get hired as the coach of the New York Knicks, and I think this has happened since our last our last show of this format. Derek Fisher, who was playing like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, he was on the Thunder.
is suddenly the coach of the New York Knicks. And why this is interesting to bring up in context of the Carmelo Anthony situation is that we definitely have a team in transition. With a new owner, with Phil Jackson coming as the new owner, literally plucking a guy right out of retirement to be the new head coach, and they're about to lose their star player. It's, you know, it's one of those, like, everything was looking like it was on the right track to be a rebuilding year for the Knicks, and now, much like Drake, they got to start from the bottom. Like, they absolutely have to start from the bottom.
Not even like Drake. They're starting as a bottom, what's going to happen to them in every game.
But the really interesting thing about that hire is not so much this year, but 2 years down the line when Kevin Durant's turn for free agency.
And the thing is, one thing, if he doesn't do the stupid shit, which I can't imagine do that LeBron did, if he leaves, I'm going to be so pissed off if I hear, like, that matters. If,
he will call you.
Yeah.
And like, ask.
Some, like, Colin Cowherd's, I don't know, he's like, Elliot Fontenot is pissed off, but,
he does hang out here in Austin every summer.
Stephen A. Smith is going to be like, well, I was all on board with the decision, but then all of a sudden, Elliot Fontenot in Austin, Texas, thought it wasn't a good idea, so now I don't think it's a good idea.
No, but I will say is, like, he has done a yeoman's job in Oklahoma. He has put that franchise on the fucking map.
Totally.
So if he chooses to leave, nobody needs to give him shit. It's like working at a job that you like, but you outgrow. If people move on, they move on. And I 2 years from now, it's going to suck when I see that article. Well, the Durant never cared about Oklahoma. He's just out for his own and da-da-da-da-da. Like, he deserves to, you know, move on.
I think it's all in how you leave. Yeah. I think it's all in how you leave. It's, you know, like, it's like when any showrunner, you know, when you have, like, something like The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
It's like if the relationship ends mutually and amicably, then, you know, you can hand it off to somebody new, who, and it's fine.
Like the Peyton Manning thing when he left.
Right, exactly. Like the Peyton Manning thing. But it's like if you have a showrunner who's like, no, this is fucked up, and then a year later the network comes back and goes, oh, no, can you please do this again because we were wrong? Dan Harmon, Community, great example.
Yeah.
Like that situation got real ugly real fast. With, you know, NBC being like, fuck you, Dan Harmon, get out of here, we don't want to work with you anymore.
And then it's a
shit. And then going, well, we kind of need you to come. So, I mean, it's all about in how the relationship ends. And I think the advantage that Kevin Durant has is when his time to move on comes, he is going to have the hindsight of the decision.
Oh, yeah.
And go, that's not what I want to do. And instead, when he quietly leaves, what people are going to remember is his MVP speech.
Beautiful.
And they're going to remember that and go, oh, remember when KD was here? We wish him well. I think that's going to be the difference. And I think that might be why, I mean, I feel like everybody's picked up on LeBron opting out of his contract, but it hasn't been like a big event. Like it wasn't something that was put out there to try and grade. It was put out on a Monday morning, just like, okay, is it Monday? Is it Tuesday? What day is it?
It was Tuesday.
On a Tuesday morning.
Here's the thing. I think it's more just, I mean, I just, if, and I know we're talking about LeBron, but just 1 second. If LeBron leaves, to me, and I'm not trying to be funny, his nickname is the mercenary. Cause he just wants to, he's just a hired gun at that point, and that diminishes him. A player that I really think could be on your starting five all NBA all time team.
I think that could be a fun game for our next show, is like put together an actual NBA mercenaries team to go fight the Predator.
Yes.
Like, actually.
You heard that Predator news, that Predator news this morning?
Oh my God. Are they making another Predator?
But guess who's getting to write it? Guess who's getting to write it? JC, I'm going to throw the alley to JC.
Who's writing it?
Writing it is Fred Decker.
But.
That is fucking awesome.
Directing it is Shane Black.
What up?
I mean, ladies and gentlemen,
show them your numbers.
You have just heard a 180 in opinion immediately on a project live on the air from, oh my God, why are they? Fred Decker, I am so glad that you are back in the business. I can't even tell you. That guy directed Monster Squad and Night of the Creeps and, yes, RoboCop 3. We all make mistakes, but I am so happy that he's back and Shane Black directed. Oh!
Do it! Do it!
Come on! Oh, I'm so happy. I got a big heart on.
I could see, you mad before, because I was like, oh my God, he doesn't know. And I was like, JC, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
Right here. Chris Paul. Blake Red.
I was going to bitch about it, but it turns out I ain't got time to bitch. I am so happy about that. That's great. Apparently, Carmelo Anthony's a basketball player. Let's talk about Predator for a second. No, of course. Carmelo Anthony, a lot of people suspect that he's going to go to Chicago, but of course, Derrick Rose made some comments about how he'd rather have Kevin Love than Carmelo Anthony as a teammate. And I think at this point, Derrick Rose should just, you know, hope for better knees than better teammates.
Yeah, he needs to be on his knees in the street, like, praying for better knees.
Then don't do that. Stand up straight. Or you know what? Have a nice chair in the street light to do some praying.
Yeah, it's like, this man, you need to just focus on your own shit.
Yeah.
Because, like, I got some people that I work with that just, they won't stop talking about people. It's like, you know what? do your own work and get your knees right.
Get your knees right.
Just do that, and whoever else is on your team, they're going to help you. Just don't talk right now, because if you make one more injury, nobody's going to want you anymore.
Yeah.
You're going to be, what's that guy's name who was Gambit in X-Men Origins Wolverine? I forgot his name.
Oh, Taylor Kitsch.
You're going to be Taylor Kitsch.
Nobody wants to be Taylor Kitsch. Taylor Kitsch, the only person who wants to be Taylor Kitsch is Sam Worthington.
Yeah, what the fuck happened to him?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Because he was being pushed for a while.
And that one guy who listens to one of us that always gets mad at us whenever we make fun of Taylor Kitsch. I forgot his name.
I like Taylor Kitsch.
I'm going to make fun of Taylor Kitsch again because he's terrible.
No.
In the words of Peter Griffin, he is just terrible. That guy is just terrible.
Does he grind
terrible.
Your gears?
You know what really grinds my gears? Taylor Kitsch. What the fuck is Taylor Kitsch?
I think he's good. That's a bad thing with Brown in I tell you though, I actually like Taylor Kitsch. He was really going for Friday Night Lights. I think he has the shittiest agent of all fucking time. It's like, yeah, we're going to put you in this unknown biopic that the pop culture really doesn't know. It's called John Carter of Mars. Oh, what we're also going to do is we're going to put you as a shitty side character that was written for the late 80s and the early 90s about a Cajun. In a horrible movie.
I want to stop you. Did you just call John Carter a biopic? Like, you know that didn't actually happen, right? What? Like, John Carter is not a real person.
What?
Okay, well, we need to have that conversation off mic. I'm going to close out this story that we're talking about by asking this question. Honestly, I'll ask you, JC. Do you see Carmelo Anthony going anywhere other than Chicago? And if so, where do you see him going?
Other than Chicago? Slim chance Houston if they can't get LeBron, which they probably can't get either. But yeah, if not Chicago, then I say he stays in New York, because staying in New York gains him $33 million. He can prove he wants to be a winner by going somewhere else and leaving $33 million on the table, or he could stay in New York one more year and get his $33
million. He might end up being the Dan Marino of basketball, the guy who is always great, always talked about as one of the greatest, but you know, doesn't get that ring. You know, like Karl Malone.
And Charles Barkley.
Charles Barkley. Ah, that's disappointing, but too, because Barkley went everywhere, man. Like a Johnny Cash song trying to win his championship.
I tell you, though, I think you got to give those 90s NBA stars a bit of a mulligan, because they were playing in an era of dominance. Because if Jordan didn't retire those 2 years, Olajuwon and Drexler wouldn't have gotten their ring either, probably.
Does Scott Skiles have a ring? Because when you said players of the 90s, and I don't know why, maybe it's because I played too much NBA Jam, I immediately thought of Scott Skiles.
I don't think Scott Skiles ever got a ring.
Huh. I guess we'll have to look that. You know,
I think he might have played with Orlando when they lost to the Rockets. And nah.
Do you remember Chuck Price on the Cleveland Cavaliers, I think his name was? He was always one of my favorite players, even though I didn't like the Cavs back then, because he was just peppy.
He was a chubby three-point shooter?
Yeah, he just never stopped running.
I have been on good authority, and by good authority I mean Mr. Wikipedia, that he did not win a ring. Scott Skiles.
Do you remember Danny Ainge and when, like, he had that one big game and they were Air Ainge? I'm like, no, stop it.
Yeah, that's too bad. Well, this has been the Wheel of Free Agency. We're going to move on to our next story that is something I think we can really make an obvious joke about sinking our teeth into. Luis Suarez, who you may know as one of Uruguay's top players. You may know him, if you are my brother, as Liverpool FC's top player. A guy who has a checkered past, to say the least. During the Uruguay-Italy game, which, by the way, I believe ended in a draw. We'll have to look that up with facts and whatnot. Decided that he was going to bite an Italian player during the game.
Uruguay, however the hell you say that. they won 1-0.
But you know what's funny?
It's like a Tyson.
During our Game of Cups coverage, I looked up a bunch of facts about Uruguay, and it turns out that I was actually looking up facts about Uruguay. So I thought I was, like, giving all this history about this really interesting and rich nation, and it turns out I was just like, they are the main standard bearers of Lord Sauron. I was like, wait a minute, this is just... They appeared in the Third Age. What is this? This is not right at all.
They both wear weird, entirely too tight uniforms, so I can see the confusion.
And as it turns out, they both like man flesh. In this case...
they like to taste man flesh.
Suarez decided to take a big-ass bite out of Italian player... what was this guy's name? Giorgio Chiellini. Just like... And you can see it in the replay. Like, he just turns his head and kind of like... like just goes in for that bite, and you know the.
And then he flops.
And then flops. And the
ref, like, the guy who bit flops.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's the Lance Stevenson of soccer.
And of course the ref doesn't see it. And the Italian player is literally running up to the ref, showing him the fucking, like, hey, this guy's a fang banger. Like, he literally just,
like, I'm not saying he bit him, but we saw Wesley Snipes in the audience with some swords.
Yeah, exactly. Some motherfuckers always try to play soccer uphill, which doesn't work at all. That's why the pitch is always flat.
I also think the funny thing about that is as he was showing the ref his injury, another guy from Uruguay kept, like, going, no, man.
Like, trying to put it back up. Like, some schoolyard bullshit.
It's like, you didn't see it. There aren't cameras here.
Yeah. And this is a really crazy thing. I mean, it never happens. Except that he's done this two times before!
Look, people.
Luis Suarez has actually developed a nickname in a previous league, and that nickname, I shit you not, was the Cannibal.
I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Anthony Hopkins, but I think Mads Mikkelsen's interpretation of Suarez is even more interesting on that show. I think the funniest headline, and I'm not going to say what outlet wrote it because I fucking hate them, but I will say it's not mine, so I'm not plagiarizing. There was an online outlet whose headline was Chewy, Luis, and the Blues. Because Italy was wearing blue. So I will half tip my hat to that website that I hate. So yes, Elliot, your question is apt. How do you not get thrown out of soccer when this is the 1, 2, 3, 3rd time that you have bit another player? Yeah. And how did you not learn after kindergarten or, you know, whatever the Uruguayan equivalent of elementary school is, that you don't solve your problems by biting people?
Well, I tell you, the first time you could be like, man, I was hungry. Second time, I'm actually a day walker. But the third time, it's like, you know, man, fuck the motherfucker, get the fuck out the league.
My favorite part is that his flop, do you know what he was doing during the flop?
What?
Ow, my teeth! Like, literally, you can see it in the picture, he's holding his upper teeth.
Like, you bit
I'm like, yeah, your teeth hurt because you just dug into solid muscle of some Italian player.
That's like somebody beating the shit out of another person and be like, man, that man injured my knuckles.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Fazoli's has real Italian real fast. You don't need to go around biting people on the pitch, Suarez.
It's like you saw him, like, later just, like, getting, like, eating some garlic bread. He's like, you know, just a little Italian, just a little garlic bread with it. It's fun.
You know, if they were playing China, he just would have bit somebody else again 30 minutes later. That's just the way that shit works. I can't make that up.
I do wish we could chat longer, but I'm having an old friend for dinner.
So the other thing I want to talk about in reference to the World Cup, which, by the way, I have to say, I am becoming a fan of the World Cup.
Oh,
not,
me too.
Not a fan of soccer yet, but the World Cup for sure.
Well, soccer has to fix that tie bullshit.
Yeah, and that kind of brings us to our next story, which was, of course, the USA-Portugal game. Now, the US, despite the doubters and primarily their coach doubting that they were going to win the World Cup, have played pretty spectacularly well. And, you know, up against Portugal, it was kind of thought, you know, maybe we'll get a respectable tie. We'll probably lose. And sure enough, Portugal got out to a 1-goal lead fairly early. And the U.S. spent the rest of the game kind of scrambling, but they were able to tie the game up with a deep, deep kick. Like, it was
25 feet out.
Yeah, 25 feet out. It was beautiful. And then right in, like, the 81st minute, here comes Dempsey, and just, it was just beautiful the way it just kind of rolled in off of him. He just used everything at his disposal.
Because it was three different players involved in that. Yeah. It just, like, went in, then I forgot his name. I think it's Klinsmann, and he kicked it back in. Then it bounced off the goalie, then came back into Dempsey's body.
Yes.
And he just bodied it in.
It was just like body bumped it in like he was...
Body bump.
Like he was genuine, and he was like, get on this pony.
I don't see nothing wrong with a little bump and bump.
I agree. A little bump and goal. So here we have, all of a sudden, a 2-1 lead, and regulation winds down. Now, the thing that I have had to accept about football that I can't fucking stand is stoppage time. And the reason I can't stand
it's cheap.
It is arbitrary. It is fucking arbitrary. They're just like, I don't know, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, I don't know.
Yeah. I think for the most part people can kind of accept ties. Like, NHL has done all they can to kind of get rid of that, but it happens from time to time, and I think people are okay with it. But yeah, it's the arbitrary. It's like, yeah, 5 minutes. Like, that's a little crazy.
This isn't like, we have stopwatches. Just go, are they flopping? Start.
Yeah,
and they're done.
The thing
and,
is,
well, I mean, the other thing is, when somebody is laying on the ground hurt, like, how hard is it to just, you know, stop the clock?
Yeah,
yeah.
They act like time is this. I think soccer maybe wants to be a metaphor for life.
Time waits for no one.
It will if you stop the clock. Yeah, this is not a fucking. We're not trying to explore the complexities of space and time. Stop the fucking clock.
And it's not even like there's another game in that stadium. You have them spread out over four locations in Brazil.
Yeah.
Over, like, four different time blocks, 2 hours apart. There's nobody waiting to take the pitch right after your game. There's no reason it can't stop.
The fans will be happy because they'll get to go to the bathroom during the game. the ad execs and the companies will be a shit ton happier because they'll actually get to put on commercials during it.
Not only that, but Suarez can get a hot dog and stop biting every Italian he runs.
Or he can sharpen his teeth like Hunger Games.
Yeah, whichever works.
Of course,
man.
Every game for him is a Hunger Game.
But instead, it's just this arbitrary. We're going to add a bunch of time at the end, and it's like, you know, at the beginning of this World Cup, we got all the way to Father's Day without there being a tie, which is why we made the joke in the Game of Cups, like, this is a no-tie Father's Day. Whatever you were going to buy your dad, don't buy him a tie. There are no ties on this Father's
Day. Not even bow-tie pasta.
Exactly. And now it's like, oh, the other shoe has dropped. And now they're in this later, like, it's not even the later half because it goes on for another 2 weeks. But in this mid-portion of the World Cup before we get to the 16. Round of 16. No, the Sweet 16. I'm going to call it the Sweet 16.
Yeah, it's the Sweet 16. Fuck you. Fuck this round of 16. Yeah. We're in America.
Before we get there even, the number of ties have gone up to the point where there's more ties in this World Cup than in the movie Frenzy. It is ridiculous. And so
there's more ties than Mad Men.
So yeah, exactly. So I was looking forward to not only the U.S. winning, and it was in a bar full of people, and I was all excited. And then they add 5 damn minutes of stoppage time, and I'm just like, okay,
with the best player
we gotta,
in soccer.
We got to maintain. We've got to maintain. Yeah, with the best player and with Reynaldo on the field, who we had largely been able to contain. But I mean, we were like, it was a dangerous situation, and I was just like, hold on, USA, hold on, USA, do whatever you can, do whatever you can. And then in oh my God, it's heartbreaking. So 30 seconds before the game was going to be over, even with the stoppage time, 4.5 minutes into stoppage time, Bradley decides that instead of clearing the ball like a normal human being, he's just going to kind of limp kick it. And wouldn't you know it, it ends up on the other side of the field. Reynaldo's able to lob it up to one of his teammates. Goal. Ties it up. We end on a 2-2 tie. And what really sucks is that, oh my gosh, our goalkeeper had been working his ass off.
That Tim, man's a Tim, fucking
Tim, oh my Howard?
Common.
Tim Howard.
Yes. Common, yeah.
Yes, Common. He does look like Common. He definitely has Common
facial
hair.
He's like, come close to me, baby.
You couldn't even get in on those corners. That's how Common he is. He had been playing his ass off the whole game, and it's like, oh my God, they finally got one. Like, they finally got that one past him, and we end on a 2-2 tie, and it made me realize that the crushing thing about a tie is when you are in the lead for, you know, when the game is supposed to be over and you're in the lead, and then they add this arbitrary-ass stoppage time, which, by the way, the Ivory Coast just won in stoppage time over, God, I don't even know. The point being that the stoppage time is so arbitrary that the reason, like, there apparently what's going on around right now is that it was supposed to be 4 minutes. Initially, they said 4 minutes of stoppage time, and then an official decided to add an extra minute because, in his statement, one of the American players during a
switch out?
Yeah, during a switch out, took his time getting off the field.
That's what everybody does!
And it's like, fuck you. I'm sorry. He took his time getting off the field? All that means is that we didn't have as much strength as the other team. How is that possibly an advantage that needs to be compensated for? It's basically the equivalent of a power play. He won't get off the field quick enough? Fine. We're not playing at full strength. How does that need to be compensated for with an extra minute of stoppage time? It makes no sense. No sense at all.
Well, I mean, what I see is this is more, it's just a, it's, these problems are, I think, the real reason why soccer hasn't taken off in the U.S. Not because of, not so much competitive, but like, you gotta give businesses, if they're gonna put this on TV, a way to make money. And if you don't stop the clock and let them put some commercials on, especially for like high tension situations where people are actually watching, you can have all the ads you want on in the background, but that's not the same as a dedicated ad that they can make money off of. And if businesses can't make money, they're not gonna support it, especially if there's no historical following. The minute they put some, they get a time in there, they get some timeouts, and they get some more ad revenue, all of a sudden you're gonna see soccer catch on a lot more, because it's hard, because right now you don't have business backing it. Because there are some fundamental problems. I'm sorry, I shouldn't watch a game for 95 minutes for a tie.
Yeah.
That's just wasting my time.
And, it, you know, I guess I'm a sucker for better storylines, and the better storyline would have been USA going in there, getting that win over a team that features arguably the greatest player in the entire world.
The LeBron of right now.
The LeBron of football.
Football.
But you know what really bums me out about this? Is that
what grinds your gears?
What grinds my gears about this is that this game, this match, could not have been more telling for how the world views us culturally. I mean, we get penalized for being lazy Americans, and also Dempsey scored with his dick. I mean,
he's like, hey, watch this drive.
He did that Elvis the Pelvis thrust like he was Elizabeth Berkeley dry humping that dude from Twin Peaks and Striptease, like, or not Striptease, Showgirls. So it's
12-year-old Elliot.
It is just everything that the world hates about America in one game, and I'm not crying conspiracy. I'm just crying bad officiating, which has been happening to. I mean, the very first game of the World Cup had one of the singular worst penalty calls I have ever seen that cost Croatia what should have been a victory, what seemed in favor of giving the home team, the host country's team, a victory and staving off embarrassment. But the World Cup continues. I'm very much looking. I mean, America, despite this tie, is in a good position. I mean, basically, from what I understand, Portugal not only has to beat Ghana, but they have to beat Ghana by like 6 goals for us to be in trouble. Yeah. So I think we can still advance on a draw with Germany, who is touted to be one of the very best teams in this World Cup.
You know the key for us in Germany. We have to learn the secret of the boot.
The secret of the boot?
We got to learn to turn that bad boy. You got to.
A beer fest reference.
God, I fucking love beer fest.
I really thought you were going to go with World War II.
Nah, it's easy. It's easy. No,
you went with beer fest.
Well, it's a picture going around on Facebook. It's like World Cup Thursday, and it's the final lineup of Germany versus U.S. in beer fest. And by the way, Broken Lizard, I never saw my weed movie that y'all were promising at the end of beer fest.
Oh, I'm pretty sure every movie they made after that was their weed movie.
Because like
I'm pretty sure that's how that works.
Because after that, they made the Slammin' Salmon.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. I loved... So
and then the Baby Makers.
They had Super Troopers, they had Beer Fest, and a movie I like, Club Dredd, which sort of funny.
I like Club Dredd a lot.
Yeah. The teams that have advanced so far that are in the...
Round of 16.
Are Brazil, teams. Chile, Colombia, Uruguay, the Netherlands, Mexico...
Mexico.
And actually, it looks like... Is that Croatia? No shit.
So basically,
Costa Rica. I'm sorry.
So basically, South America and the wee country.
What I have found during the World Cup that is disturbing is that I don't know flags. I don't know flags half as well as I thought I did.
Do you hate flags?
No, I don't. I used to go to food courts all the time, and they'd be everywhere, and it'd be wonderful. But like, I don't know flags as well as I thought I did. That is the one thing I have learned from the World Cup, and I'm making all of our European listeners, all four of them, very unhappy by saying that. Moving on from the World Cup, we are going to talk about, we're going to get back to the NBA, because that's what's going on right now.
Back to the NBA, yeah. I ran out of words a few seconds ago.
I was hoping there'd be more lyrics to that. You just dropped it like you dropped it like it was so hot you couldn't touch it again.
It's like, we're spitballing here, you know, you throw some things out there. No judgments.
Hey, Joel Embiid, who is one of the high prospects in this year's NBA draft, a kid out of Kansas, has shaken up the NBA draft prospect. Shake it up. Shake it up. Oh, yeah. Shake it up. Joel Embiid is injured. He has a foot injury that is actually kind of making people nervous because it comes... No pun intended, on the heels of a back injury that he had not too long ago. So, JC, tell us a little bit about this injury and whether or not it is a red flag and how concerned should NBA franchises interested in Joel Embiid be?
It should be a concern. It's a stress fracture of the navicular bone, which is the injury that kind of ended Yao Ming's career.
Oh.
Joel Embiid's a young guy. He's only played competitive basketball for 1 year, so it's not as much of a red flag, but then again... After 1 year of competitive basketball, he's got back issues. Now he's got this foot injury. I think the way the game has evolved, especially kind of seeing the decline of Roy Hibbert in the playoffs, I think people just aren't going to be sold on a big man that can't stay healthy. The game's a lot quicker. The game isn't as dependent on those types of classic centers.
It seems to be more, the games today seem to be more focused on the wing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What is Yao Ming? Wait, who is Yao Ming?
What?
Who's Yao Ming? Who, I don't know who that is. Who's Yao Ming?
Are you serious?
7'6" center from China?
Yeah.
Wait, and he played for the Rockets?
Yeah.
I thought that was the Tower of Isengard. I didn't know that was an actual human being.
I was like, really?
That's why Joe Hogan.
No, I was like, you're having an Elliot moment here.
See, this is the kind of thing where I just spring this on these guys, and they're like, where the fuck is he going with this? It's like Lenny Bruce for sports, except it's not at all talented. Anyway.
So, you know, before this happened, Joel Embiid had really... I mean, he is a legitimately impressive center. And even though he's a big classic center, he's still kind of lean, so he's not a very heavy guy. And, you know, he impressed Cleveland. Cleveland was pretty much sold on taking him with the first pick, and then this happened, so now they don't really know what they're going to do. And we talked about if they might trade the first pick earlier tonight. Assuming they can't get Kevin Love or LeBron, to me, I spent all of Friday night watching various NBA pre-draft workout tapes because I'm a nerd.
Wow.
And
I call that dedication.
That's some deep track stuff right there.
And I'm actually really impressed with Jabari Parker, his ability to get his own shot off, to get a shot off the dribble. He's got a smooth, quick release on his jump shot. I think he's the most NBA ready, and I would go with Jabari Parker over Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins is the more freakishly athletic.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, similar to LeBron, when LeBron was a rookie year, he couldn't really shoot either, mm-hmm. and neither can...
neither could Jordan.
Yeah, and, you know, Andrew Wiggins has a bit of an issue with his jump shot.
But which... Okay, this is a really dumb question, which I already know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway because it came to the front part of my brain. Is it more important in this NBA right now when you're looking for... and you're looking at the talent pool and you're trying to figure out exactly which way to lean, is it more important to have a player who is a possible risk injury but is a great defensive player, or a talent who is possibly a character issue but is also a great defensive player? The reason I ask that is because the top two defensively ranked prospects in this NBA draft are Joel Embiid and Marcus Smart from Oklahoma State, who, if you'll remember, got into some trouble for picking a fight with... And I'm going to go ahead and say this. He was totally right to do it. But that being said, it's the kind of thing you don't necessarily do when NBA teams are watching your every move and trying to figure out if they want to hire you for a big contract. But in this situation, is it easier for an NBA franchise to kind of put aside doubts based on injuries or put aside doubts based on some possible severe, I won't say behavioral issues, I'll just say disciplinary question marks?
Well, Marcus Smart, I think he's really impressed people in his interviews, I think.
Since then.
Yeah, I think that's really the only black mark in his career, and I think I've even said on the show, I think if you're an athlete with me, you kind of get you get one pass as far as, like, you're a young kid, you can make a mistake, Jameis Winston and the issue that he went through, like that.
It was, stealing crab legs?
Well, no, the one before that.
No, like, I know what you mean.
Yeah, and so, but now with the crab legs thing...
You may have
like,
got
now,
crabs in that one.
Yeah.
Now with the crab legs thing, like, now it's becoming, like, now there's a second thing, and like, now maybe there's questions.
Then it's a pattern.
Marcus Smart still has just the one thing, and the one thing, as you pointed out, is kind of understandable why he flipped out the way he did.
Absolutely, and I want to say this again. I do not blame him at all, because I do not believe that jackass's story when he says, oh, I just called him a loser. Like, bullshit, you did.
Strangely enough, though, my issue with Marcus Smart, and this is kind of where I could be totally wrong because I'm not a professional NBA scout, but I heard that he impressed in his interviews and he really impressed in his pre-draft workouts. And I went back and I watched videos of his pre-draft workouts where didn't miss a shot from all over the court. My issue with him, I think he takes too long to get his shot off. Probably a weird...
He has shot anxiety.
It's just a very... He brings it all the way down from below his knee. Like, it's not... Jabari Parker, it's kind of a weird technical thing. Like, they get the shot up...
No, you don't want it from below.
Yeah.
You gotta have it from, like, right here.
And Ray Allen. Like, Ray Allen gets his shot off in 0.3 seconds. Like, it could be an issue, and it could be nothing. I don't know.
It's an issue that is possibly affecting him off the court as well, because if he'd gotten that shot off against that racist fan a little bit quicker, there would have been a deserving black eye to show for it.
Sorry.
No, that's it.
Well, here's the thing. What I see is, like, I was at the gym the other day, and I was watching this ESPN special on the Pistons, and you saw Chuck Price. and how he handled Rodman. He didn't try to put Rodman in a box. He just said, look, Rodman's going to be Rodman. The most I can do is try to steer him. And I think it depends more on who's the coach that's going to be taking these young men and, you know, trying to fashion them into NBA players. Are they going to try to break them? And that doesn't really work a lot of the time. You got to sort of use them like the Hulk on the Avengers. It's like, look, smash. We can't control this motherfucker, but we can tell him where we can point him.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to depend more on what kind of organization is going to get him. But if it was up to me, if I have a good coach, I go for the talent. Cause you can, but if I have a coach I don't have that much confidence in, like if I have a Spoelstra,
yeah,
I don't go for him. Cause like, I think Spoelstra's, and I like Spoelstra. I think he's a good dude, but I think, I don't know. I haven't really seen him coach.
No one has. I'm going to say that again. Spoelstra doesn't coach. He stands there and goes, I don't know, LeBron. Just throw the ball or LeBron. I don't know. What do you want from me? I'm 24 years old. What do you want? I look like John Leguizamo. I look like a wet rat over here. I'm 24 years old. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. But we win.
Because, I mean, here's the difference. Phil Jackson coached.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Phil, I mean, he made them run that triangle. It wasn't just, hey, Dwayne Wade, I want you to penetrate real quick and then kick it out and then pass it back. And, oh, I want, Bosh, I want you to turn down a shot you should make. Where Little John's in the corner, be like, turn down for what?
Not only that, but if Phil Jackson wins another championship ring, he's going to have to turn it into a Prince Albert because he's run out of fingers to put them on. So there is that.
You think
as
he
well.
Hasn't already done that?
He may have already done that. Well, we now come to the middle segment of the show, a little portion I will now and forever refer to as And the Rest.
And the rest are here on Gilligan's Island.
Yes, much like the professor and poor Marianne, these stories weren't quite good enough to be headliners, but still deserve their moment, albeit brief, in the broadcast sun. First up, what happens when you go from 76er to zero in the span of one Instagram? That's what Philadelphia Rising star Evan Turner found out when his candy red Ferrari decided to run out of gas on the highway. And much like any human being, when you call your friend for help because your Ferrari has run out of gas on the highway, your friend shows up to document the occasion and ensure maximum humiliation.
Of course.
This story makes me laugh. So, JC, tell us a little bit more about Evan Turner and his woes with fuel efficiency.
Yeah, the funny picture. He had to stop on, I guess, one of those painted areas where you're not supposed to switch lanes.
It looks like a Michael Bay chase scene as he's filling up his car. It's going on around him.
And what's funny about this is reading the description. He calls his former Ohio State teammate PJ Hill, because he runs out of gas. But like, I just got to imagine the situation where it's like. Like, my friend's an NBA player. He's got all the money in the world, and I'm not. And I get a phone call saying he ran out of gas. Like, I'm supposed to go, like, give him gas for his Ferrari. Like, I don't know. That's kind of a shitty.
I would just tell him gas went up to $75 a gallon.
Yeah. Well, my thing is, like, can't the motherfucker afford AAA? Just $81 a year.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
You know, he could have used an assist, I suppose, from AAA.
Yeah.
That might have been good.
What's good is the girl that was with him just stayed there in the front seat. So I guess
she's smart.
Yeah.
You see how fast the cars are going around them? His friend's fucking filming. I'm like, you're going to film this guy's death. You realize that. Like, you need to put that Instagram away. This is a very precarious situation that you're documenting.
And the Pacers won't miss him.
Aw. Yeah, I don't disagree.
He's not wrong. I think the Pacers reminded me of that when that series reminded me of Bart Simpson when he was trying to stay home from school and he tells his immune system just to lay down their arms and they go, "Okay, boys, just stop." And they just start stuff playing.
I am not going to defend any of the flopping done by the Pacers in the playoffs. I am going to point out that. The only game the Heat won against the Spurs in the finals, Wade got fined for flopping.
I'm not talking about flopping. I'm just saying they stopped trying.
Oh, no, that's absolutely true.
Okay.
They, you know, it's like the Gordon Bombay model. They were like, take the fall, act hurt, get indignant.
And then and
it worked
up
just as well as it did for the Mighty Ducks.
I just say, I have never seen a player flop and then look up.
Yes.
To see if that shit was working.
I like the meme that was going around for a while where it was just him laying in various beds. Because it looked like he'd like rolled over and went to sleep. My favorite being him in a race car bed. Which is just so appropriate in so many ways for a guy who plays in Indianapolis.
Has he been re-signed yet?
I'm not sure what the situation is with the Pacers players. That is something we will definitely have to keep an eye on. But up next in the And the Rest segment, hide your kids, hide your wife. Hope Solo's fucking beating up everybody out here, according to 911. 911 may be a joke, but this sounds like the punchline. Heyo!
Heyo.
Heyo. So Hope Solo, if you aren't familiar, is the goalkeeper for women's MLS team, the Seattle Reign.
Things wrong with the tall, hairy people, right?
Yes, the Wookiees. Yeah, absolutely. Nice Solo reference. I like that. She was arrested over the weekend, charged with 2 counts of domestic violence, because she allegedly attacked her sister and nephew at a family party. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't have nephews. I have cousins.
Well, I'm black. I always have a cousin.
Well, I understand the impulse from time to time to just, like, slap somebody on the back of the head. But apparently she went, like, ham. Like, she went Mia ham on her relatives and decided that, first of all, she apparently said that the nephew was too fat to be an athlete. And that's awesome. What kind of set off the fray. But then you have this person who, I'm going to play a little bit of this for you guys. This 911 call where the guy says, Hope Solo is going psychotic, she's fucking beating up people and we need help. I mean, that is concise and to the point. Like, I like that they just got right down to it. Like, this is what's happening. Here, let me play that for you.
He's climbing your windows, he's snatching your people up, trying to rape them, so you need to hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband, because they're raping everybody out here.
Yeah, so obviously, Hope Solo beating up everybody out here. But you know what? The last time Solo had to deal with somebody who was too fat, he was, ho, 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 Solo, conchi, don't monkey dub punch in the face.
Well, did the victim say, hey, look, I need her alive?
She's no good to me dead.
Well, I tell you, the thing is, like, I read a little bit of that, and I'm sorry, you point a BB gun at somebody and you call them the C word. You deserve to get your ass whooped. I don't care who it is.
There is so much Jerry Springer white trash nonsense going on with this story. It's pretty unbelievable.
I mean, I
still
to say
let her punch me in the face, though.
Yeah.
Well, you know, she pled not guilty to the charges. It's like, I'm pretty sure you have an entire family full of witnesses and a 911 call that says you just went psycho killer on everybody.
Which is the charge
she's
that they
hot
gave me?
To where if the penance for me dating her was her punching me in the face once a day. I would do it.
So much insight into the mind of JC DeLeon tonight. So much frightening insight into who JC is. And JC, I think you need to raise the bar on your standards just like half an inch from girl who will beat me up to girl who will not beat me up.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. If a girl's hitting you, doesn't mean you're hitting it.
Yeah. That's not what we mean when she's hey, that girl's hitting on you. That's not what we mean. Yeah. That's not really what we're trying
to do. Come on, you're a lion. Come on.
That's true.
But don't hit girls either.
Never.
Don't hit anybody out here.
No. I'm going to say this. Look, this guy, like, he shouldn't, like, I'm sorry. As a man, you learn a lesson that, one, you don't hit women, and you don't insult them to that level. You don't insult anybody to that level. And two, I mean, every man knows that I'm a short man. I'm short. I've accepted it. And it's like, you know, if I see Debo out there, or fucking Shaq, there's a level that an argument is not going to get to. It's like, I'm doing, you were right. You are fine.
We're going to not let things escalate quickly, as Ron Burgundy would say.
Yeah, it's like, he should know better.
Next up on the And the Rest section is a story about a knuckleball princess. Once upon a time, there was a knuckleball princess, and that really sounds like something filthy.
Sounds like a really good porno.
I assure you, it is not. JC, tell us about this phenom who the Tampa Bay Rays should sign, like, yesterday.
Chelsea Baker is a 17-year-old pitcher for the Durant High School boys team. She plays on the boys team.
Awesome.
When she was in Little League, she was taught how to pitch by the late Joe Niekro, who's a Hall of Fame baseball pitcher. The Tampa Bay Rays the other day let her throw some pitches in batting practice, and she throws a wicked knuckleball. That was getting
That's
by
money
people.
In the bank.
Pitches yeah. be crazy. That's all.
Yeah.
Sorry, dude. We just went,
suck the air out of that one. Sorry about that, Jason.
That's a little aside, and it's tagged.
One of the Tampa Bay Rays did hit a home run off of her, and she was really excited to see that home run go out, which is funny.
Yeah, it's like, that's really not what you're going for.
It's like that moment in Rookie of the Year where he gets a home run hit off of him, and he just goes, wow!
It's like, that's not a good thing.
She'll learn. I actually have a letter here that Chelsea Baker wrote to someone else. I don't know. Let me read this here. Dear Mr. 50 Cent, hi, how are you? My name is Chelsea Baker, and I am 17 years old. I don't run New York, and I have not been shot 9 times. What I can do is throw a baseball 60 feet over the plate without it veering wildly into the right field bleachers. Sincerely, and once again, a 17-year-old girl, Chelsea Baker. I think that's a really interesting pen pal relationship that she struck up with 50. I think that's interesting.
I mean, 50 might have some shots for her.
Hey, I just got here, and this is crazy, I can throw this better than you, baby. That's terrible. That's an awful song. That's almost as awful as the actual song.
And I'm going to take this point because I say all the things. I just do. Carly Rae Jepsen, that's actually good music.
I say all the things. Elliot, you have a catchphrase. That is your new. I say all the things.
Like, Carly Rae Jepsen, her album's not bad.
Like, if we get like Dickies work shirts for each of us on the inside the locker, so that when we come to work we look professional. Yours is going to say Elliot's going to have the little embroidered Elliot on the back. It's just going to say I say all the things.
Well, I came up with that recently because like I have a girlfriend that I just got in February.
Wait, I thought you were a free agent.
No. And like I tend to like just say like, oh, you're so beautiful and I love you. And she's like, Elliot, you say a lot. I'm like, I say all the things. That's what I do.
I say all the things, Elliot.
I'm like a Muppet.
Fontenot. Like, and now we're going to put our ears to the internet bleachers and pump our fists that someone, anyone, is listening. It's the part of the show we call Cheers from the Cheap Seats, for lack of a better name. And our first tweeted question that we got here from Gojira... Kujira Gay? That can't be right. I probably read
hey,
that.
Hey, no one. Judgment. No judgment.
I'm sorry, Gojira Gav. It's just my word processor. Gojira Gav says, have you seen the Suarez bite? How many matches should he get suspended for? And I know we've mentioned this before, but here's something I didn't go into. I actually don't think FIFA is going to have the time to suspend Suarez. They're going to be far too busy quarantining the entire city of Natal, Brazil, before the inevitable and terrible profusion of the zombie virus hits maximum effect. Ladies and gentlemen, if FIFA is not prepared to work with the CDC to quell the surging tide of infection, we are going to see the return of the living dead right there on the pitch. This has to be dealt with. That's all. That's all I have to say on
that'd be an interesting FIFA video game.
It really would. Like
the first one.
You know, the Red Dead Redemption where they went with like the zombie extra game?
Oh my god, that was
like,
awesome.
That would be in like a FIFA 2014 zombies.
Because of Gary Marzipan.
Zombul. Like I would play that game forever. That would be awesome. Absolutely. Our next tweeted question from, and I'm sorry if I mispronounce, Undercover UB asks, have you enjoyed the World Cup? If so, the best moment so far.
Ooh.
The best moment. I think the best moment so far was, when, you know, as much as it turned out to be not the case, and it didn't really end up being a deciding factor, when Dempsey scored that goal on Saturday or on Sunday, and it just put us up in the lead in the 81st minute, it was such an incredible feeling. I mean, you felt that... You know, you felt not only the place you were at come alive if you were watching in a bar, but, like, you just kind of felt this groundswell of energy all around you. And that, like, that chant of, like, I believe that we will win.
I hate that chant.
I love that chant. I am all about that chant.
It's too long.
No, man, that chant
You can stop it whenever you want. It's like the boom, boom, clap, or the wave. You just stop it whenever you feel like stopping doing it.
I know. I'm a big fan of the jingoistic USA. Because it's like, America, fuck yeah! But I tell you, for me, my favorite moment was the winning goal against Ghana. I swear to God, yeah. I heard Stan Bush, you got the touch. It's like, and then like, I even heard like the entire end of Transformers. It's like, Optimus, your time is over, Galvatron. You got the touch! Boom!
I think the goal by Van Persie, what they call the Palomita goal, where he just kind of headed it over the goalie.
That was incredible. And the goalie just watched it.
Yeah, because
there was nothing he could do.
Yeah, because the goalie was like, oh, that's way too high.
It's like, that escalated quickly.
To answer the first part, like if we've enjoyed the World Cup, I was telling Ramon this on the podcast, like really kind of paying attention to soccer for the first time. Like it was kind of easy to see the parallels between American football and like how important time of possession is mm-hmm. and field position is, and even kind of seeing the parallels between basketball with like fast breaks and like, mm-hmm. the way people kind of cross over with their feet, and you know the obvious parallels between hockey. Like it's definitely something I underlooked. I'm kind of with you. Like I don't know how much soccer I'm going to be watching after the World Cup, but I mean, I definitely wouldn't call myself a soccer hater.
No. I just don't find. I don't think I'll find myself watching English Premier League because I'd have to get up and start drinking at like 8 in the morning. Yeah. Oh my God! What the hell am I saying? This sounds amazing. English Premier League. Let's go! Woo! EPL.
I tell you were talking about the amazing dribbling. What I kept on thinking.
That's what's going to happen to me if I start drinking at 8 a.m. Absolutely. By noon, the amazing dribbling. Anyway, you were saying.
Well, what I was thinking is just I was watching that, and I'm not joking. I was just thinking to myself, man, wouldn't it be awesome if there was like an and-one mixtape for soccer?
Like, I'm sure there is.
I want to see some of those hood people get their hands on a soccer ball and be like, what's this player? What's this? And they just flip it up in, like, to the small of their neck and be like, where is it?
It's just like, well, I remember a commercial a few years ago for, I think it was a Sprite commercial, where like they would show clips of like street soccer.
Okay.
And the way dudes can kind of like toss the ball up in the air, but give it so much English so that as soon as it hits the ground, it just like bounces somewhere else. Like people can do really crazy stuff.
I don't want it to get to a point where the and one soccer challenge starts including like amateurs and celebrities, and then we got Kevin Hart out there like, oh, I can dribble, I can dribble. It's like, yeah. Dude,
go back to Lollipop Land.
Yeah, like, and then he wants to be goalkeeper, and it's like, dude, anybody can kick over your ass. You are 3 foot nothing. This is not gonna work. But that's a good question there, and I appreciate it. This one, I think Elliot is definitely gonna appreciate. This question that comes to us direct from one of our favorite question askers, Kevin Perino.
I knew it was!
At Blue Lantern 18, who asks, and he says, so Adam doesn't freak out. So he's letting us know that it's a hypothetical. Sorry, Adam is not here, but I'm sure he's freaking out wherever he is.
He's at the Fortress of Solitude this week.
If you had a chance to fight a giant monster, ooh, which giant robot would you use? Now, what I love about this question, Elliot, is that he's not limiting this to Jaegers. So any giant robot that could be Dragonzord, that could be Optimus Prime, that could be a number of giant robotic figures, piloted or unpiloted, which would you use to fight a monster? I'm going to go ahead and throw out my answer. I would use Crimson Typhoon, and I would do it right. I'm sorry. When you have a Jaeger, when you have a giant robot that has three arms full of weaponry, you should not fight as if all three of those arms are tied behind your back. And no disrespect whatsoever to the Wii triplets. But for God's sakes, one of you has to use that third arm. There are three of you in there. How is one of you not operating the third arm? It was just hanging limp.
It was.
You've got to use that third. It's an advantage like no other. That Kaiju is never going to see that extra right cross coming if it's already counted two arms. If it's miscounted the number of arms that you have, you've got to get that third arm involved. So I would use Crimson Typhoon.
Elliot looks very perplexed.
And I would get two people who actually knew how to pilot the other arms. And I'm going to let Elliot continue to ponder his answer. How about you, JC? Any thought to this at all?
I've been playing a lot of Titanfall lately, and I like the ogre chassis in Titanfall. I don't know how big that is compared to, like, the size of some other monsters, but seeing as how I've had enough practice with that in the video game world, I think if I had to do it in real life, I could do it.
You know what? Don't worry. I don't think you should worry so much about the size, because I want to, you know, you say that about the size, and I'm gonna throw out three words to you. Tyrone, Muggsy, Bogues.
That's true.
Clearly, size isn't everything. Speaking of sizes and everything, Elliot, do you have your answer for this question?
This is perplexing because I love this genre so much. From Gundam Wing.
I think if you've listened to 30 seconds of any of our shows, you probably know that about Elliot.
From Gundam Wing to Evangelion to Pacific Rim to Power Rangers.
You can reach into the anime pool that I cannot do.
So I would have to pick, it's been such a long time since I watched Gundam Wing. but there's an all black Gundam with a death scythe, and they call him, and like it's piloted not by Troa, he was the main guy, but it's I forgot what it's called, but it, when he's on his attack, he calls it the God of Death, and it's just a big fucking black Gundam with a death scythe, and it's amazing.
Nice.
So that's what I would use.
Nice. Is it a duo?
Yes.
Duo. Okay.
Yeah.
I looked it up. I'm not good at an anime. I just looked it up. I promise.
Now, Gundam Wing is a very short anime. It's only 60 episodes, and it's really easy to digest. It came on Toonami back in 99.
Let me tell you why none of us picked the Megazord from Power Rangers. I know exactly the problem with the Megazord. I've said this time and time again, to much to the chagrin of anyone who happens to be an earshot at the bar when I'm drunk and I start getting into this rant. If the only way that the Megazord is effective is when it's the Megazord, why do you even bother coming out individually?
Exactly.
In what episode did we ever see any of the individual Dinozords fight?
One episode!
One!
And
goddamn
it was awesome.
Episode. And it was like, why do you bother, Zordon? You want to talk about saving a little bit of money? I don't know where you get this, like, intergalactic black card where you can just keep buying these Dinozords that are completely ineffectual by themselves. But why don't you just buy one Megazord that is pre-assembled and ready to go immediately instead of this, like, showy garishness of all these Dinozords come running out and then immediately realize, oh, we're outmatched. We should join up together.
My theory was always that, you know, you got the Black Zord. It's like, oh, shit, I thought this was like 15 minutes later. I'm black. I can make that joke. I'm just going to make that joke right now.
I did not make that. I will say it is one of the most racist shows on television.
Oh, shit. It's like, okay.
I got to be the Black Ranger? Really? I'm Asian. I got to be the Yellow Ranger?
And then
come
the girl?
On. Oh, yeah. The girly girl is the Pink Ranger.
And then the Hispanic or the Native American Ranger is, I don't know, red?
I don't know. Red.
That's funny. The Gay Ranger's blue?
You know why? You know why that happened? And this is why I absolutely can blame Power Rangers for this. Mm-hmm. It was retrofitted. That show existed. All the action stuff with the monsters and the guys fighting in the suits, that already existed, so they retconned that show.
They retconned the racism.
They retconned the racism. That's exactly what they did. They went backwards. They went backwards in time and socially and acceptably and said, oh, well, we have a black ranger. Let's cast a black actor. When you work that way, it's even more racist. It's like you didn't have to. You could have recognized immediately that you didn't have to cast a black actor to be the Black Ranger.
No,
The black actor could have been the Red Ranger, for fuck's sake.
The thing is, you're completely right, because it was racist even for back in the early 90s, because there are steps to where a culture starts getting over their racism, where you don't include them, then you make fun of them, then you include one character, and then you start having a more diverse mix.
Right.
But even that was like, okay, you got your one character, but you're usually not that blatant, like, Kwame on the Planeteers was Earth. It was like, okay, well, that's not inherently racist.
Yeah.
And the Gi, the one from China, I think, controlled water. Nothing inherently racist there. They didn't have any characters, but Power Rangers was like, no.
Yeah.
We want racism, and we want the way we want.
It would have been great, though, if,
I'm slipping into the lone person.
I don't know what that is, but if the Russian chick on the Planeteers had been, like, her power instead of wind was, like, bread lines.
Or vodka,
like, or, like, controlling the lower classes until they're basically wiped out. Like, yeah, no, that absolutely would have been more fitting.
Honestly, but the only character on Captain Planet was Wheeler, because he was a brash American.
Hey, what's up? I'm an American. I control fire. What's up? I'm gonna get an extra minute in overage time because I lazily walked off the field, and I'm gonna score a goal with my dick. America.
Actually, thinking about it now, it had a funny subtext, because the entire time Wheeler was trying to get with Linka. So basically, the entire time the United States were trying to fuck the USSR.
No, it was that was their attempt to end the Cold War, much like Rocky Balboa with his words punched down the Berlin Wall at the end of Rocky IV. If eyes can change and yous can change, everybody can change. And on that triumphant note, we are going to end this show. We are going to end Inside the Locker. We're going to shut the door for another week. Before we go, I do want to remind you, like I didn't at the beginning of the show, because I am terrible at what I do, we are available on iTunes. Just search One of Us in the podcast section. You'll find Inside the Locker, just like all of our content. You can also find us on Stitcher. You can follow the show on Twitter, at ITLcast. You can also like us on Facebook.com/oneofusnet. And of course, we got Podathon coming up, as you heard at the top of the show, on the 28th, which is this Saturday. Definitely going to want to tune in for that. If you got a few extra shekels to throw our way, we're going to be using that for parties for you guys, for improving the site. It's all going to go back to you, I can assure you.
Yeah, trust me on that. Like, they don't, isn't like, oh, you know, we're going to hookers and cocaine. No,
hookers and cocaine.
They put everything back into the site.
No, I max out my credit cards for hookers and cocaine. The money that you guys give us is all for you. Absolutely. And please keep using those Amazon links on the sidebar. You'll see our pick of the week. If you click on that, it'll take you to Amazon. Anything you buy from that point benefits the site. So if you're going to buy something from Amazon anyway, why not come here first? That would be great. You can also follow us individually on Twitter. I'm at BryGuySalisbury.
At ITL Elliot.
At JCDeLeon1.
And our absent partner, Adam Beef Nuggets Charles.
At the underscore beef, I think. Yep.
Yes, absolutely. Well done, Elliot. And I think that's pretty much all we have to cover this week. So in closing, I'm just going to remind you that bite me once, shame on you. Bite me three times, shame on FIFA.